All right, kids, you're dismissed to children's church. Can you hear me okay? Am I on the speaker? I only ask because like one of the wires were like a little loose on my device, so can you hear me if I walk over here? Can you guys hear? Can you hear over here? Maybe not that much, not that much. Crank it up. There we go. All right, I can hear myself now. That's a little bit better. We're still working on audio, but they're doing a great job. I have a challenge. As the kids are going out and enjoying their time at Children's Church, I want to once again encourage you with two things. Thomas, thank you for that prayer. That was beautiful. Let's be praying for our country. And one way that you can pray, not just during the week, but as corporately as a church, is to join us for that National Day of Prayer. That's on May 7th. I encourage you to go out the foyer as you leave, not right now, to go sign up for a time period. It could be 30 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, whatever, however long you want to do it, but let's pray for our country, that God would be magnified, and that we Christians would represent Him well as followers of Jesus Christ. And the other thing I want to also just promote is what Bob McClure came up here to talk about, which is the Colson's Fellows Program. He's right. I went to this, like this, it's at the Church of the Apostles, like a downtown Atlanta area, and we got to see this one-day thing, what it's all about, and I tell you, this is a phenomenal course. If you want to develop a robust Christian worldview, look into this. It's 9 months. It's reading like 12 to 14 books. It's like a college course. It's serious work. But you will walk away very confident in your faith. So I encourage you to go to that Q&A on May 10th and just figure out a little bit more. You can go on our website, go see it, what the website says about it as well. And you will be blessed if you put that effort in. Because, brothers and sisters, I got to pass to you right now, okay? I got to do some shepherding here. Don't be lazy when it comes to following Jesus. Don't be distracted when it comes to following Jesus. There's so many things I know pulling you every which way, but we need to make the main thing the main thing. And that is glorifying God by being a disciple of Jesus Christ and making disciples of Jesus Christ. So what are you doing to grow in your faith? I don't want you to be a baby Christian. The elders here don't want you to be a baby Christian. I know many of you are not, but what are you doing to help grow your faith? Are you investing into your relationship with God? Or are you just stagnant right now, distracted? What is it? If you want to grow in your faith, come to this thing on May 7th, go to the Colson's Fellows. You will be encouraged, you will be strengthened, you will be challenged, and you will grow. Amen? Oh, come on, that's like 2% of you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, all right, good. Well, we're going to continue our study in our Psalms of David. And if you haven't been here, you haven't been coming, we've been going through this. Yes, I like to pick books that last a long time. If you weren't here, it took us 2.5 years to get through the book of Isaiah. And it might take us 2.5 years to get through David's Psalms, but I will try to go through them. What we're going to do is go through what, there's five books in the book of Psalms, five collections of songs. We're going to go through all the way to Psalm 41, I think that's right, could be 40, 41, and take a break and go to the New Testament, and then we'll come back to David's Psalms. But these songs that David has written were inspired by God to have in the time of need, in the time of rejoicing, wherever you at are in life, there is a psalm for that type of season. And I love talking about how there is a psalm for every season of life, and every season of life needs a psalm. And there is in Scripture. And we've been walking through them and seeing what God has been saying. And I want to start off by asking you a question here about your faith. If you want to follow and look at the slides, you can scan that QR code, or it's on your outline. Those of you online can get that as well. I want to ask you this question about your faith. Have you found there had times in your faith, as you follow Jesus, where you are just absolutely confident? You feel connected with God. You're like on a spiritual high. There's so much passion for the Lord at that moment that you're like, ah, I want to feel like this all the time. Maybe you've come to church on a Sunday, and you had that experience where you've sung the songs, the Word of God spoke to you, you talked to some people, and you're just pumped up for the week, and you're like, I'm going to be just awesome this week following God. I have so much confidence in Him, I have so much connection with Him, that this week is going to be wonderful. And then Monday comes, and you wake up on Monday morning, And you got to rush through breakfast. There's some conflict in the house as before you go to work or school. And everything seems to fall apart. And by the end of Monday, you feel so disconnected from God. You feel anxious about life. You feel like it's all where the world is ending now, where you're like, why is this happening? Why is it just 24 hours ago, or even less than that, I have this super confident faith in God, and then now, just a day later, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. Have you ever experienced that before? I think I have. There's been many times in my life where I have, you go to a Christian retreat, you're talking with in a small group, and you're just on fire for the Lord, and then something happens, or there's something happening in your life, and you get distracted, you get anxious, you get concerned, something to do with relationships, or perhaps just with work, or things going on in the world, and you wonder, what's wrong with me? Why can't my faith just stay steady all the time? Well, that's exactly what this song in Psalm 27 is going to address. We're going to see, as David opens this song, he opens with great confidence in the Lord. In fact, he feels like, I'm invincible. Like, I got the Lord, nothing can come against me and take me down. And you're going to see that in the first 6 verses. Then all of a sudden, you get to verse 7, and it's like the whole tone of the song shifts. Now all of a sudden, David is just a wreck. He's nervous, he's anxious, and he's wondering, God, please don't abandon me, please don't abandon me. I feel all alone. My enemies are going to take over, and they're going to win. This song was given to us by God because this is the real experience of life. In fact, I see life sort of like this as waves. Have you ever noticed that in your life? There's times of great confidence in walking in the Lord, and then there's those low points in your life where it feels like you're walking through a valley or you're at the low point in the wave, and then, oh man, you get spiritually high, and then you get spiritually low. And you just constantly feel this sort of like wave motion in your life that just won't stop, and you're wondering, what do I need to do to stop this? Why can't I fix this? Well, God gave us Psalm 27 to show, I know this is happening in your life. This is a normal human experience, partly because of our sin nature, partly because we live in a fallen world, partly because there are fallen spiritual beings attacking us, but this tends to be what life feels like. But God's going to walk us through that and show us what each type of moment is like and then tell us what to do when we feel that tension between the two. So let's look at Psalm 27 and see David's song that he wrote where he was super confident at one point, anxious in the next, and what do we do when we're feeling that tension? So turn with me and let's look at the moment where David feels so confident in God's presence. He's bold, he's excited about taking life on, he feels like nothing can take him down. Let's look at Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6. David sings, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength or the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. Yes, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Woo! David is pumped up here. You see that? David is excited about his relationship with God, how God is showing up in his life. He feels like nothing can take him down in this moment. Have you ever felt that way in your life? Those are fun moments. I call this section in David's song, "God, I feel so confident in you right now that nothing can take me out." And we've had those moments where you so feel like just, God, man, you're right here. You're with me in this. I don't feel like I'm alone. I feel like I can conquer the world. Not for like worldly things. I'm talking about like spiritually. Like you feel so close to God that nothing can take you down. No person, no spiritual being, no event in the world that's going on right now. God, you are my rock, you are my fortress. And look at how David actually talks about that in this first six verses of his song. The first thing David sings is, my faith in God is confident despite my circumstances. So let's look at that real quick. It says in verses 1 through 3, when it first starts off, it sounds like I said fart. When it first starts off, he says three things about God. You are my light, you are my salvation, you are my strength or stronghold or fortress, depending on your translation. Let's think about that. He says, God, you are my light. What does that mean? It means that I am in darkness. I maybe can't see the pathway forward, but God, you come along and you show me the way. I am not afraid of the darkness because you are lighting the way forward and I can trust you in that. So he helps me with my confusion in moments of crisis. Then, not only that, David says, you are my salvation. And he's not talking about like salvation from sin here. He's talking about salvation from enemies. He's saying, you are the one that steps in and rescues me. You bring me to deliverance so that my enemies will not basically take me out or take what I have or ruin this relationship with you. You can see that in verses 2. He says, the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. He's saying like they came to kill him. My enemies and my foe came against me, and they stumble and fell because of God. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Do you see all that Hebrew parallelism? It's always like repeating this idea. So David is looking at this. He's not in the vacuum. It's not like things are going easy in his life. In fact, they're quite hard. He's not saying, I feel safe and secure because life is easy. He's saying, life is hard right now, but man, am I close to God. He is my light, he is my salvation, and then he says he is my strength of my life, or my fortress of life, meaning I can go to you and find protection when my enemies come against me. So David recognizes his relationship with God is what he needs to face the circumstances in his life. And he's like, my confidence is in you, God. Nothing's going to deter that. And then as he goes further in this song in the very beginning, David sings, while I'm sitting in these circumstances, the first thing I want more than anything else is not God to rescue me out of these circumstances, but to be in your presence. You see that? He's saying, this is the one thing I have desired. It's not the only thing, but this is the most important thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to be that connected with you, God. The first thing I want is not for you to solve my problem or get me out of the circumstances. I want to be close to you, because if I'm close to you, I will be protected, I will find security, I will find strength, I will find light, I will have a fortress where I can go hide. My connection with you gives me everything that I need. It gives me connection and security. Because a lot of times when we're in situations that are hard, we are afraid and anxious and don't feel confident. And what David is saying, when I am in your house, and I wish I could be there every single day, Lord, by the way, I feel safe and I feel connected with you. And that's a good thing to desire, isn't it? I do want to be so connected with God that no matter what is happening in life, I find strength and security in Him. I feel that God gives me my identity, He gives me my value, He gives me acceptance, not based on what people say or my circumstances, but on who He thinks I am. Not even what I think I am. So David is saying, God, the best place to be in a crisis is in your house. And it causes him then to worship God because of that. David sings in verse 6, I will have victory because of you, and because you're going to give me victory, I will worship you. You guys see that, how he says that? He goes through, hey God, I feel confident in you. You're my light, my salvation, my strength. I'm not afraid. They can come against me. It doesn't matter. But one thing, I want to be in your house. I want to be close with you because that's the safest place I can be. And God, I'm so confident in our relationship and this connection we have with each other, that I'm doing your will, that you're going to lift my head up over my enemies who are all around me. Basically, he's saying he's going to have victory over his enemies. It hasn't happened yet, but David is so confident in God, he's saying, I know God will make this happen. You guys see that? Have you ever been so confident that God is going to do something in your life that you like have no doubt about it at all? Like you're just like, I know God's showing up. And so you go right into that situation, even though it might be difficult. Maybe it's like a meeting at work. It might be a relationship where you have to repair. You're like, God's in this. He's got this. And because of that, I will worship you, God. And I've been in those moments where when you feel so connected to God, you probably felt it too. You just can't help but worship Him. You break out into song. You talk with Him through prayer, like a conversation. It just comes out of you like God is pouring into you and it overfills your cup, so then it pours out of you into worship. That doesn't happen that often for some of you. I understand that. We're going to see that in the next half of the song, actually. But when you're in that moment, like David is here in the song, he is feeling like, yes, God, you've got it all. I don't have to worry, and because I'm so confident in you, I will worship you. Now, if this is how the song ended in verse 6, it'd be a great song, wouldn't it? You'd be like, I'm pumped up, I'm going to follow God, nothing's going to scare me, I shall not fear. But if we're honest, we'd also feel like it wasn't exactly how we live things in real life. We'd still be wondering, God, you know, why doesn't my faith stay like this confident all the time? Why do I feel like I go from the spiritual high to spiritual low? Well, that's exactly why I think God has in this next half of the song a place where David feels anxious and concerned about his circumstances. So let's read about that. Turn with me to verse 7 through 13. Those of you online, turn there as well. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 13. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Oh, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that God, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David went from this spiritual confidence. Whom shall I fear? That's a rhetorical question. The answer was no one for David. I shouldn't fear anybody. I'm right next to God. But now David's whole perspective has completely changed. Now he's feeling something differently. I call this the God, I'm feeling so anxious about life right now section. Have you ever had that too? Where, again, you started off confident and then the next day or the next hour, all of a sudden you're back in the cycle of anxiety and fear and wondering what are you going to do next? David has experienced that here. Do you see how he was so confident in God? You're going to light the way. You're going to be my salvation. You're going to be my fortress. And I want to be in your house. I'm close to you. I'm going to be close to you. When I'm close to you, I'm going to be protected. In fact, I'm so confident and close to you, I'm going to be just bubbling with worship. All of a sudden, it shifts in verse 7. And David first starts singing about, God, please don't abandon me. You feel so far away right now. Look at the beginning of verse 7 right there. You see how David says, I'm crying out with my voice. God, please have mercy upon me. Answer me. David is no longer confident here. Before he was like, God's got my back. Now he's saying, God, will you please talk to me? I don't know if you're there. You're not picking up the phone sort of thing. Now, is God distant and abandoning David in this moment? No. But that's what it feels like for David. And he starts saying, I need you, God. And he even begs him. He says, hey, God, you told me what to do in these moments. You told me to seek your face, and I'm seeking your face. But I still feel disconnected. So don't hide your face from me. I'm afraid you're going to be abandoning me because you feel so far away. In fact, don't turn on me in anger. So he's worried, God, did I do something wrong? I don't even know. Like, I'm just so unconfident right now that you're not here with me in this anymore. He says, listen, God, I know you have been my help, but please don't leave me or forsake me in verse 9. You're supposed to be my rescuer, my deliverer when my enemies are coming against me. But then David, at the end of verse 10, does turn back. So he's feeling anxious. He's feeling abandoned. He's worried that God has abandoned him in this song. But he turns back to truth two times. And in verse 10, he says, okay, but the truth is, I know from what God and His character and what He has said that even if my closest relationships in life, my mother and my father, usually your mom and dad will put up with a lot of stuff that you do, don't they? Like just lying, stealing, being a disobedient child, and yet they'll never kick you out or hate you unless you keep doing bad things, and they might do that because they need to discipline you. But usually mom and dads don't abandon you completely unless you've done something absolutely horrendous, right? So David is looking at the closest relationships, a child with a mother and father, and how that is one of the tightest bonds that we have in our human community, and saying, even if that fails, Lord, I need to remember that you will never abandon me, that my relationship with you is greater than even the greatest relationship in this world between parents and their children. You guys see that? But he still feels the anxiousness. And so he's saying the next thing he feels while he's in that moment of fear of abandonment is he says, God, I'm in this state where I feel anxious and uncertain. I don't know what to do, so please guide me while I'm here. Because one of the things that happens when we're in this level of anxiety is confusion. We get confused. We're anxious. We don't just feel afraid. We often want to know what to do in these moments. Like, what am I supposed to do? How do I get out of this situation? Right? We need clarity. We need guidance. And so David turns to God and says, I need you to just show up and tell me what to do because people are speaking false things about me. There's this threat of violence against me. My enemies are coming after me. They're still there. The danger is real. And David says, I need you, God. I need you. I felt the same way sometimes. When you get in that moment from that high to that low, where you feel like, God, not only do I feel like you're not there, I don't know what direction to walk. What am I supposed to do? I know my wife and I, we've had great times and hard times, the roller coaster ride of marriage. If anybody tells you marriage is easy, they're lying to you. It is, though, one of the best places to grow in your faith because you have to learn to love people when you don't really want to love them. Because we hurt each other, don't we? We say mean things, we do wrong things, and we need to repair often in a relationship, especially one that is as close as in a marriage. And there was times, too, where my wife and I were in a disagreement, and I feel anxious, I feel disconnected, I feel like things are not right in this world, and so I'm going to God and saying, usually, God, show me what I'm supposed to do next. Because usually I have something in my mind that I should do, and it's usually a dumb idea. Usually, when we get in an argument, my first knee-jerk reaction is, let me think of my argument and how I'm right and she's wrong, and let me go get a bunch of friends to agree with me. Hey, she said this, that's wrong, right? Yeah, that's wrong, that is wrong. And then to go back and tell her, you were wrong, and by the way, they say you're wrong as well. Bad idea, right? So you're asking God, I know I got a bunch of dumb ideas, help me to know the right way to walk. And so usually, every time, God says, Peter, I know you want her to think rightly about you, to not believe what you think she believes about you, but first we got to deal with your heart. God, you're right. Okay, what's on my heart? Okay, you were mean here, you were mean there, you said some things that were inappropriate, and you didn't need to be the man by the men. Be men. Go and step up and have that hard conversation with your wife. Don't just sit back waiting for her to come. Go and say, hey, I'm feeling so disconnected from you. I want us to have a good relationship. Please help us. I want to repair. Can we sit down and talk? Maybe she might say, I'm not ready yet. That's fine. Give her some space. But man, we need to step up and go do that. So that's what David is singing here, is in those moments of lows where I feel spiritually insecure, God, give me the path to walk forward. But then even again, once again, as he did in verse 10, where he said, hey, I got to remember, I got to believe the truth. God hasn't abandoned me. If even my greatest relationships between my mom and my dad, if they abandoned me, I still got you, Lord. You're not going to abandon me. He goes into verse 13. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So David has this real threat. We don't know exactly what it was, but there's these enemies. They want to kill him. Something's happening in the nation of Israel at that moment. And he's saying, hold on a second. I might feel like God's abandoned me and he's not showing me the way, but that is not true. Let me go back to what I know is true. So what David is doing here is he's saying, I'm not going to depend on shaping reality through my feelings. Feelings are good. God gave us feelings. We should understand our feelings, but I'm not going to let my feelings dictate what is reality. That's where we get into trouble. Feelings help us know that there's something underneath, but they should not dictate the reality. Instead, I'm going to go back to the truth. Okay, I'm feeling this way, but the truth is, wait, I need to believe that God will be good to me and that he's not going to let me die in this situation. That he will show up some way, I don't know how, but I can trust him. So David, in this section, he fears God is not there to help him. He's desiring clarity how to move forward in the struggle. But he recognizes, hold on, facts, not feelings. Feelings are there, but the fact is, God will never abandon me, and he will be good to me. Whatever's happening is a reason. So I need to live in that and not fluctuate with my feelings between when I feel confident or anxious. Because you're going to have many times in your life where you do feel confident in your relationship with God and you're going to feel very anxious about your relationship with God. This is the flow of life. Again, sin nature, sinful world, spiritual beings. But David roots himself in truth here. He's constantly remembering, it's not about what my feelings feel at the moment. I need to understand them, but I need to remember what the truth is and who God is. And so now David tells us, okay, there's going to be moments in your life where you feel this tension between confidence and anxiety. Sometimes within the same moment, sometimes within the same hour, the same minutes, the same seconds. What do you do when you're fluctuating back and forth, especially when you're over here in anxiety? Well, the last verse tells us in verse 14. Let's read that together. David sings, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So what are we to do when we're feeling anxious and we're kind of vacillating, even being back and forth between confidence and anxiousness, and our feelings are overwhelming us? This section could be titled, God, in my anxiety, I will bind myself to you. And I'll explain why I use that word bind. So David is singing here, just to say it a different way, is I will wait with expectation and hope, holding on to God. Do you see how David uses that term wait twice in this one verse? You need to understand that in English, we think waiting is sitting down and doing nothing. But who was the original audience to these songs? It was the Jews. These are songs that they would sing in the temple and as a nation to worship God. And when you look at how a Jew would view this, they do not hear this as just sit and be patient. That's not what he's saying here. So this Hebrew word for wait is not passive or inactive in your life. No, what a Jew would hear is hold on tightly to God. Stay stretched towards him. Don't let go even if it feels hard. The Hebrew word that's used for weight is this word that means, it comes from this root of having a cord of rope. And you know, if you pull on a rope, if it's like three cords in the rope, when you pull on that, it stretches the rope, but then things get tighter in the rope and the cords get closer together. That's actually what this Hebrew word means, how it originally was used, is as you are stretched and pressure is on, it draws you closer to God and tighter to Him. And so what David is saying is, in those moments when you feel anxious and you're fluctuating, your feelings are all over the place, that's when you hold on for dear life to God. And let that stretching bring you closer and closer to Him, because the only one that can help you remember truth in those moments when feelings are at a level 10 is God, and you need Him. And it says, listen, you're going to have to be courageous when this happens. Do you see that? Be of good courage. That's actually a command in this passage, because it's going to be hard. When you get in a situation where you're feeling stretched and the pressure's on and you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed, what we naturally want to do is several things. We want to resolve things quickly, just get it over with so I don't have to deal with it anymore. We want to feel secure again. We want to regain control, or we're going to distract ourselves so we don't have to feel what we're feeling. Which one are you? God is saying, don't do any of those things. Don't try to take control. Don't try to distract yourself. Don't try to resolve things quickly just so you can feel secure again. What you need to do is slow down and hold on to me, because we're going to go on a ride. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to take some courage to figure out what's going on inside of you. But don't worry, he says, He shall give you the strength in your heart. See that? So it's not you just mustering up the strength. You have a part to play. You're going to have to be courageous when things hurt. But God's going to help you in that. So the answer to this, what do you do when you're fluctuating back and forth between confidence and anxiety, is to hold on to the Lord. In fact, this is how I would say this takeaway in this song. The takeaway for Psalm 27 is to teach us that life is not a straight line of confidence in the Lord. It's a steady wave of waiting on God, holding on to Him when things feel so crazy. So when David is singing the song, when you feel confident, trust God. When you feel anxious, seek God. And when you feel stuck in between, hold on to God tightly, because it's probably going to give you a bumpy ride. Just like if you, I don't know, I've never surfed in my life, nor would I want to. But when you're surfing on a wave, you let the wave carry you, don't you? What I've found when I feel anxious, depressed, things in life feel out of control, one of the things, sitting in Christian counseling and also practicing in real life and having my wife also counsel me too, is we have this phrase, ride the wave. It's actually what we say to ourselves. So when I feel anxious, I need to ride the wave. And that's hard, because I want to get off of this wave. It doesn't feel good. But that's what David is saying here. There's going to be waves in your life where feelings feel overwhelming. That's when you hold on to God. It's just like if you're surfing, you ride the wave. Because if you jump off of the surfboard, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to get in the water and you're going to get all wet and you're going to eat by sharks, and then you know your body's going to be coming up on the sand later on. No. No, you're supposed to just stay on the surfboard. Ride that wave, because God is with you. And eventually, that wave does slow down, and you go right to the beach, and you're like, oh, dry land again. Why did I ever get off of this? That's actually the rhythm of faith, as we live in a fallen world with fallen natures, with spiritual beings that want to disrupt our relationship with God. Faith in God is not about you having steady feelings. You're not going to have steady feelings in this life. It's hard. You struggle. You struggle with sin. You struggle with people in this world who are sinners. You struggle with bosses that are sinners. You struggle with the cursed earth that is so hard that we have been cursed to labor and toil to get food on the table. Like, everything about the world sucks. You realize that. It's part of the curse. Go back to, you want to know why things in this world are so terrible? Go back to Genesis 3. This earth is cursed. I was actually thinking about this week. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. There's a second law of thermodynamics in the universe, that everything is going from order to decay or chaos. That's not the way God originally designed this universe. Do you realize that? That's part of the curse. The second law of thermodynamics is a law in place that God put in place because we sinned and rebelled against Him, and He cursed the earth. Things were not supposed to wear out and go to chaos and disorder. It was perfect. It was to hold together completely. But God has cursed this earth because of rebellion. And there was this hope of a new earth and a new universe where the second law of thermodynamics does not take place. But we live in it right now. So there's your science lesson for today. So don't quit on God when your confidence does. You're not feeling because your feelings fluctuate. What matters is if you are walking toward and waiting on the Lord, holding tight to Him for dear life in those moments when you're on this wild ride surfing the wave, okay? Now, I would end the sermon there, but I got 5 minutes, so. No, I actually did have some stuff planned. Now, you might hear this and you'd be like, yeah, that's nice in theory, but real life doesn't work that way, Peter. What you just told me, I thought I was going to get something really helpful, and it doesn't really work. Okay, well, let me deal with some common objections. This is one that I thought of. If I just wait, nothing will change. Have you ever felt that way? I can't wait. I need to do something because I need to act. I need to fix it. I need to take control because if I don't do this, then everything's just going to get worse. Have you ever felt that way before? But biblically, like I said, the Hebrew word here for wait is not passivity or inactivity on your part. It's active dependence on God. So waiting includes prayer. It includes obeying God's commands. It includes taking faithful steps in what God has already made very clear in Scripture what you're supposed to do. It's like a farmer. You know how a farmer will plant the seeds, they'll till the soil, plant the seeds, and then water it, and then they have to wait and watch it grow, right? Same thing when you're in these moments. You are a farmer. You're trusting God to help things become different than what they are now without taking control. Like if you're a farmer, you can't like yell at the seed and be like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you growing faster? Like that's not going to work, right? Same thing with our walk with God. So you're not doing nothing when you're waiting. You are actively following Christ, praying and talking to God in the middle of that. We see that in David's song. Do you see how he's crying out to Him and saying, please don't leave me. Please don't forsake me. Please don't abandon me. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what waiting looks like. David just showed us in verses 7 through 13. Another objection I was thinking is, you might say, but if my faith was just stronger, I wouldn't feel so anxious. What you're doing is saying, I'm the problem, which you kind of are, but I'm the problem in my faith. I just need to be stronger and I can get through these tough times. So what you're really saying is my anxiety must mean that I'm failing spiritually. That's not what God is communicating in this song. Psalm 27 shows us this isn't true. In the same song, do you see how David is saying, whom shall I fear? And then the next says, he says, don't hide your face from me. There's our like way opposite ends of the spectrum on your feelings. So it's the same man, it's the same faith, the same moment holding both onto confidence and anxiety. The truth is, faith is not the absence of anxiety. That's not what faith is. It's returning to God in the middle of it. That's what faith is. You can even look to Jesus for this. When He is about to be crucified on the cross, He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Was He confident and just like bubbling, like, I got this, I'm not going to fear anything? No. He felt the stress of what is to come so much that He literally burst capillaries in His skin and caused His sweat to be mixed with blood so it looked like He was sweating blood. That's how stressed out He felt, crying out to God. But He remembered the truth, right, in that. His feelings were overwhelming Him. But He remembered, not my will, but your will be done. God, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. So again, he's grounding himself in the truth. So just because you struggle doesn't mean that you lack faith. What you need to do is go to the Lord in the middle of that struggle. The last objection I have is this one. You know what? Waiting feels too slow and it's a waste of time. Why would I wait? Because if I do nothing, if I just sit there, what's going to change? I mean, this is just such a waste of time when I could have been moving myself forward. You have the wrong idea about waiting looks like. Not just that it's, no, waiting is not passive or inactive. You have the wrong idea of what God might be doing in that. A lot of us think it's a waste of time, but you know what? Waiting is not a waste of time. Waiting is transformation time. Waiting can be the best time that God can transform you to be more like Jesus. It's formation time. I don't know about you, but the hardest moments in my life is where I grew the most, where I had to sit before God and wrestle through things. That's when I grew the most, not when things were great and why I was so confident. So don't think of it as a waste of time if you're waiting on the Lord. As Paul says in several books and some other ones in the New Testament, he even says that your suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. Right? Over and over again in Scripture, when you face trials of many kind, it has helped you to mature in your faith. It's formation time. It's transformation time. So if you're in a moment where you are feeling anxious and you're seeing, this song tells you, you need to hold on to God because you're going to ride that wave, you're going to be surfing for a while, don't see it as a waste of time. See it as an intimate time with the Lord. Oh, yes, it hurts. It is not fun to feel those feelings. But at the end of it, you will become more like Jesus if you let God do the work. So, Psalm 27 teaches us a fundamental truth. Life is not this confident straight line that you walk. You will become more confident in God as you walk with God, as you mature in your faith. But it doesn't mean that you're never going to be anxious, you're never going to be stressed, you're never going to be depressed. I mean, things happen in life. We live in a cursed world with cursed bodies, with cursed fallen angels that want to mess us up. So life is not this straight line of confidence, this side of eternity. It's a steady wave of waiting on God. Now, as we turn to Psalm 28, we turn to the topic of justice. What do we do when people come against us? When wrong is done to us, and injustice feels real and personal? Well, that's where Psalm 27 is going to take us next. And if you want to see how David responds to the injustice in the world, you need to come back next week or read your Bible. Anna, I'm always going to think of you now. There's this meme, if you don't know it, there's this guy that says, read your Bible. And so it's just like stuck. So forgive the sacrilege there. God is great. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you and thank you that you are our light, our salvation, our fortress, but there'll be times in our life where we lack confidence and we need you. We need your security. We need to be close to you. God, in those moments of anxiety and depression, if there's anyone here in the building or online watching, God, meet them in that place. Help them run to you, cling to you, hold on to you for dear life as they ride that wave. Walk them through it, inform them, transform them to be more like Jesus Christ. And help us as the body of Christ. We're going to be in different seasons of life where we feel different things. Help us to be living in an understanding way when someone is in that, and to be a helpful hand that walks with them through it and doesn't mock them or do harm to them when they're feeling that insecurity. God, let us be the body. Let us be a healthy body that is always walking with you, hiding in you, holding on to you for dear life, because, Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. So, Lord, now as we worship you and we sing praises to you, get us to a place, even today, where we can say, it is well with my soul. No matter what circumstances we are facing right now, whether it be great things going on or difficult things or just a blah morning, God, let us come to you and sit in that. In that moment of stillness, of waiting, where we can say, it is well with my soul. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.